This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
The name Kenny Boyer or Kenneth Boyer probably doesn't mean much to you. Some of you may remember, I think, a baseball player played for St. Louis Cardinals by the name of Kenny Boyer. But Kenneth Boyer is the name of the radio operator in Hawaii, December 7th, 1941, who was the first person to radio these words, "Pearl Harbor under attack. This is not a drill." Repeat, this is not a drill. Pearl Harbor under attack. This is not a drill. Repeat, this is not a drill. Kenny Boyer had the unpleasant task of being the first person to let people outside of Hawaii know the news that they were in serious trouble. People had no idea of what was happening at the time. And Ken Boyer goes down in history as the one who said, "We're under attack." If there's one thing that I would like to convey to people as a minister is a phrase that I use from time to time. People think it's kind of cute, but I don't mean it in a cute sense. We're not playing church. This is real life and death. We're not playing religion. This is real life, talking about Jesus Christ being the hope of the world. This is real life and death, pointing out that when we die, we have the promise of going to be with the Lord forever. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. There's nothing lighthearted or small change about that. That's serious business. You've ever been with someone who's near death? Nothing funny about it at all. There's nothing to joke about at a time like that. And at a time like that, I am so thankful that I can share with the family, your loved one who's a believer in Jesus Christ is with the Lord. I love to be able to share with people John 14 that says Jesus is speaking and he said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also." But there's another side to the ministry that I have learned you have to tell people, and that is what the Bible says, to be careful that you are not deceived by the deceiver. When Satan is referred to as the father of all lies, I think most people think that what that means is that's just a title of Satan. Let me tell you something, that is more than just a title to call Satan the father of all lies. It's a role description. It's his job description. It's his reason for being. Satan being the father of all lies means this. Every lie traces its DNA back to Satan. Satan is the father, the creator of all lies. And one of his main tasks in his job description is to deceive people like you and me. And today we're going to study in the book of Joshua, where God's people, not only God's people, but God's leader, Joshua, was conned, deceived by another nation into believing something that they thought was true. There was only one problem. It wasn't true. And hence the title today, Deceived, Conned, or Led by the Lord. And we're going to read in the book of Joshua, in this interesting book of the Bible, with one interesting story after another. If you've been with us the last 6 or 8 weeks, you know that's the case. It's a fascinating book. Joshua himself, God's man. By the way, in the Bible, Joshua says at the beginning, the Lord tells Joshua, "Joshua, I'm going to be with you as I was with Moses." Here's a man whose God is with and he's deceived. What does that say about you and me? God declares, "Joshua, I'm going to be with you just in the same way I was with Moses, so that all the people know that I'm with you." And that's your authority basis, is the fact that I'm with you. And Joshua was conned by a nation called Gibeon.
We'll continue this message from Joshua 9 tomorrow on Cross Hope on Sirius XM. God bless you.
This is a fascinating story, and it's a fascinating story how people who follow God can be deceived, how they can be conned, how they can believe a lie. And what happens is this, Moses in Deuteronomy had given strict instructions, don't make any treaties with the people of Canaan. Don't make any deals with them, don't make any agreements, don't sign anything. You know, don't sign up for a credit card. Don't do anything with these people. And of course, I'm exaggerating to make a point, but the point was don't have any negotiations with the people there. Drive them out of the land. But Moses did say, and so that helps you understand or answers a question, he did say you can make treaties with people who are far away. You can negotiate with those people. So Gibeon, the people of Gibeon, knew this. So they pretend with this ruse, this trick, they have old clothes, old sandals, old moldy bread, wineskins that are cracked and mended, and they come in to Joshua and his leadership and say, we're from a far distant country. Make a treaty with us so that we can live in peace under you. And you know what? Joshua and his leaders bought the ruse. And they swore an oath that they would not kill these people. They would not punish these people. And so they were able to stay in the land because an oath was made to them under a deception. I want to talk about several details of this story before I get into the 3 points I want to share. They resorted to a ruse, verse 4. Have you ever been the victim of a ruse? I have. I remember telling you that one of the big deceptions in my life was when I worked at a gas station in Hammond, Indiana. And a man came in and he was holding a gold watch and he said, Randy, I talked to Jim, the manager of the station, on the phone, and he said, you would give me $20 and you will hold my watch till Friday so I can make an insurance premium payment. And I said, sure, here's $20, and took his watch. The watch was worth about a dollar. And it wasn't until he pulled out of the gas station and I saw the out-of-state plates, I knew that I had been tricked. I had been deceived by a ruse. I remember helping a couple years ago who came to the church with out-of-state plates and Tennessee plates, to be honest with you, and they had a little baby with them, and they said, we are in had financial difficulty. We need money for the baby, and we haven't eaten. And I gave them money right out of my own pocket, helped them, and felt guilty for doing it, but I wrote down the license number as they left. And some of you have heard this story before. I called the local police chief, gave him the license number, felt terrible guilt, like, why are you doing this? And he called back and said, well, you just helped a car thief. That couple is wanted in the state by Tennessee State Police for stealing a car. Once again, I had been taken into a ruse, a deception. But let me tell you something. Those are nothing. Those deceptions are nothing compared to when a man or woman or young person is deceived spiritually. Deception is out there all the time. We are deceived into believing in all kinds of things. You can turn on programs that deal with witchcraft, consulting mediums, and it's interesting what the Bible has to say about that. Isaiah 8:19 says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? If you're ever encouraged to do something that involves witchcraft, remember the words of Isaiah. Why consult the dead about the living?
Well, this message from the 9th chapter of Joshua continues tomorrow on Sirius XM Channel 131.
I want you to notice something in verse 14, if we could bring up 14. The men of Israel sampled their provision, but they did not inquire of the Lord. I'm amazed at decisions that people make in life and never think to pray about it. People take a job change, never pray about it. You ask them, did you pray about that? No, just took it. Was that evil? No, I didn't say it was evil. I'm just saying it's amazing what people do without inquiring of the Lord. We buy a house. Did you pray about it? Well, why would I pray about it? Well, we made a big decision about this or that. Did you pray about it? Never even occurred to us to pray about it. We consult people. We consult experts. We read articles. We do this. We call consumer reports. We want to know about this. But people never think, Christian people never think to inquire of the Lord. And let me tell you this, it's the most important thing you do in life is to inquire of the Lord, which is a formal way of saying, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me discernment. Do you know the Bible? We've talked about this in the book of James, that wisdom is the one thing in the Bible the Lord says He will give freely to people who ask without question, the Lord won't hassle you when you ask for wisdom. He'll give it to you. The Lord won't argue with you. He won't debate with you if you ask for wisdom. The Bible says He freely gives wisdom to the man or woman or young person who asks for it. I want to bring up 3 points today about deception that can happen in your life and in my life. Let's bring up the first one. Believers can be deceived into believing a lie. You say, can that really happen? It happens all the time. Believers can be deceived into believing a lie. Joshua was described as a man who God was with him. In, I believe, an extra special way, and yet Joshua was deceived. God's people were deceived. I was going through the New Testament recently, or through the entire Bible, and I found out the several cases about deception. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, and do people do that? Yes, they do. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I have met people who say, I have no sin. I haven't done anything wrong in my life. And John comes along and says, if you say that, you deceive yourselves, and the truth is not in you. The truth is not in you. Galatians 6 talks about deception. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You don't make fun of God. What a man sows, he reaps. Everything we do produces a result. It produces an action. There's fallout from everything we do. If there's one lesson that men and women need to understand today in this world, is that today affects tomorrow. If there's a lesson for teenagers that they need to learn, what I do today impacts tomorrow. If there's a lesson that every husband needs to learn, what I do today, the choices and decisions I make today impact tomorrow. If there's a lesson a wife or mother needs to learn, is that today impacts tomorrow. Paul said, God is not mocked, do not be deceived. What a man sows, he reaps. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're wise. Have you ever known people that brag about their level of intelligence? Well, I've got this degree and I've got that degree, and we can be conned. People who have an educational background can be deceived. People who have high intelligence can be deceived. People who score high on their SAT tests can be deceived. We all are vulnerable to deception by the father of all lies. Paul would tell the Galatian church, if anybody offers you a false gospel, don't believe it. Don't buy anybody, the doctrine of anybody who comes along and say, I've got a new teaching. Let me give you some just practical examples of that. Have you ever believed a lie about another person only to find out that what you were told wasn't true? That's happened to all of us, and we've been guilty of that, where we have repeated gossip and it wasn't true. You may have done that with a relative, where you repeated something only to find out that those details were not correct. We can be deceived into believing lies about people at work. We can be deceived into believing lies at neighbors, only to find out that what we heard was distorted, changed, manipulated, spun in a different way, and had we known the truth, we would have known something different. Believers can be deceived into believing a lie, and the greatest example of that is when people are deceived into believing lies about their relationship to God Almighty. Some people believe that they will never be forgiven for their sin. That is a lie. Because of 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some people have been deceived into believing there's no hope for them. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Some people have been deceived into believing a lot of things about themselves that have no basis in Scripture, have no basis in fact. Have you ever been deceived? I have, and so have you. Let's bring up the second point. Believers can be seduced by flattery. Why do I bring that up? Because you notice that the people of Gibeon flattered Joshua and the people of Israel. We've heard about your God and His great power, and we've heard about how He's destroyed other nations. And we're just in awe of Him. It was flattery. Another point under that, they can be seduced. Seduce means to lead astray or beguile, which means to deceive with false logic. The Bible references Eve being beguiled by Satan. Beguile means to deceive with false logic. Makes sense. Only problem is, it's a lie. Have you ever been beguiled? Deceived with false logic? Have you ever been seduced with flattery, where someone came on to you with so much flattery that you just fell into a web of deception, and as you look back, you say to yourself, I see what was happening there. They were prepping me with flattery. They were seducing me with flattery, and then the deception was carried out because of flattery. Believers can be seduced by flattery. There's a third one I want to bring up and spend some time on it. Believers can rely more on logic than they do the Lord. Be careful when you rely more on your logic than you do the Word of God. Be careful when you rely more on your intelligence level than you do the Holy Spirit of God. Be careful when you say, it's more important to know my gut instincts are being met rather than what the Lord says or directs me to do. Believers can rely more on logic than they do with the Lord, rely on the Lord, and that's the whole ruse. Is summed up in the last verse I read. Joshua and the people sampled the provisions. They looked at the moldy bread. They looked at the old clothes. They looked at the cracked wineskins and said, well, they must be from a far country, rather than going to the Lord, inquiring of the Lord, saying, Lord, is this true? I want to share a practical suggestion for you as we wrap up today of making your first response to any situation to be prayer. See, for so many people, prayer is the last resort, and I'm going to suggest that today, beginning today, prayer is no longer going to be the last resort. It's going to be your first response.
Well, I want you to hear the conclusion of this message tomorrow on Cross Hope, same time, same place.
Instead of letting prayer become the thing that you've tried everything else and I guess we better pray kind of attitude or mindset, you say our first response to any situation with the children, any situation with the job, any situation with the house, any situation with our kids' education is all going to be based in prayer. And here's my point. God will honor the family that says prayer is our first response, not our last resort. God will bless the husband in a family who says prayer is our first response, not our last resort. God will bless the wife and mother of a family whose first response is to pray rather than the last resort. That's my point. God will bless a young person who said, you know, from now on, my first response to any question mark in my life, any decision, any dilemma, is to say, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. What does it mean to inquire of the Lord? It's not just asking the Lord to tell you what to do. That's okay to do that. To inquire of the Lord is to do this. Lord, would you give me wisdom in this situation? Lord, would you give me discernment in dealing with him or with her? Lord, would you reveal to me the truth of this situation? I'm not sure if I know the truth in this situation. Would you reveal that to my spirit and to my heart? And sometimes we'll be surprised to know, get this, the Lord will actually do that. Based on what James said, we learned in the last sermon series, God freely gives wisdom to the man or woman or young person who asks for it. Sometimes the Lord may lead you in ways that don't make sense. Doesn't mean he's not leading you. Sometimes the Lord may lead you in a way that's counterintuitive. Have you ever used that expression, something that's counterintuitive? What's that mean? It's a big phrase that means this. You feel like what you're doing is against your common sense, but you feel led to do it anyway. Well, I'm not saying every time it means the Lord's at work, but sometimes that's what the Lord does. The Lord will lead you to do things that are counterintuitive. But there are times in life where you say, you know intuitively I should do this, but you say to your husband or wife, but I really feel the Lord is leading us in this direction. Be open to the Lord's leadership. You will never be open to the Lord's leadership until you decide to be. I'll leave you with this illustration. If you're a parent and you have a teenage son or daughter who makes it quite plain to you, I am not interested in your advice as a parent. Keep it to yourself. You had a teenage son or daughter that continually rebuffed any advice you gave, reproved you for anything that you offered, said, I'm not interested in your advice. I couldn't care less about your advice. You know what the natural tendency would be as a parent? You'd hold it back. You probably would pull in a little and say, well, she's not interested. He's certainly not interested in my advice. And then the thought occurred to me one day, is it possible that one reason God doesn't give us direction is we're not open to it? In order to be experience the will of God revealed to you, I think you have to be open to it. I think you have to be open to the Word of God. You have to be open to the counsel of Christian people around you. You have to be open to the Lord's direction, the Lord opening a door here, the Lord closing a window or a door here, and I believe He does. Today, decide. You're not going to be deceived, you're not going to be conned, but you're going to be a man or woman or young person who inquires of the Lord. What does that mean? You seek His guidance. Prayer is your first response, not your last resort. Decide today. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity to seek Your counsel.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.